You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, to start off with, why do you believe that the government has made recent changes for all vaping devices to have removable batteries and a child safety mechanism? How does this differ from previous child safety changes?
Yeah, I think that's one of the new regulations that the government has come out with to assist with basically decreasing the harms associated with vaping products. But I think other areas such as, you know, the nicotine content and looking at changing the advertising and storefront windows, etc., will have a bigger impact directly for our youth taking this product up.
Youth vaping rates have dropped to 12% vaping in the last 7 days, down from 27% in 2021. Can this be attributed to the government's changes and higher nicotine strength ban?
We think it's definitely had an impact, the change in regulations and also the education. We've been talking about the harms of vaping. So that's been overall, there's been a decline. But of course, we have seen a bigger increase in uptake in our older students. And this really fits with the New Zealand Health Survey recent results as well.
Right, yeah. So speaking on that, despite vaping rates dropping, older students' vaping rates have nearly doubled since 2021. Does this increase correlate with social media use or a significantly increased apathy and depression within youth?
Well, definitely we know that there's been a lot of broad advertising around these products, and certainly before regulations sort of came into effect, really. When we did the 2021 survey, there was little in terms of regulations. It wasn't even until November of 2020 that the R18 legislation came into effect where, you know, you couldn't buy these products if you were under 18 and they had nicotine in them. So that's been a big change. And then, of course, last year we had regulations come in around limiting the nicotine content available in these vapes. So that combined with not having the advertising, you know, I remember back in 2017, 2018, vaping manufacturers and people who sold vapes were advertising, they were sponsoring festivals, there was advertising in cinemas. That advertising was certainly pushed towards our youth, and I think that's the group that's really fallen through the cracks.
Why do you believe that there was a higher amount of nicotine to begin with, if it was vaping was for designed to quit smoking in the first place?
That's a good question. Exactly. Really, you know, we've been calling for a cap on the amount of nicotine to be in line with the EU at 20 milligrams per mil since, you know, for years, since about 2017-18. And we started off with very high doses here in New Zealand of nicotine. Some of these products had up to 60 milligrams of nicotine, which is just a crazy and highly addictive amount of nicotine. So it's taking a long time to get this level under control. And that's really, I think there's been a lot of influence. I mean, our, you know, vaping expert advisory group that was formulated, a third of them were actually involved in industry. I don't think that helped listening to people who actually would benefit from the sale of these products to give advice on to what the nicotine content should be, because it is highly addictive. And so what we've seen with the 2021 survey compared to the 2024 survey is that younger group, that sort of year 10, have now become your sort of year 13s and obviously into your early university years. And that group seems to be the ones that have really missed out and become potentially addicted to these products.
And speaking on the what you said earlier about education in schools about vaping, do you believe that educating the youth about the harms of smoking realistically prevents it? Or could it have an adverse effect of curiosity?
No, I think that, you know, New Zealand has actually done a really good job of educating around the harms of smoking cigarettes. And certainly we've seen the trend downwards for the uptake of smoking across the board in adults and our younger kids as well. So I think the biggest drop, of course, was during COVID. We saw a big decrease in the smoking numbers then. It certainly wasn't because of vaping products. So, you know, the education has been a really big part of reducing those smoking rates. But certainly vaping hasn't been the panacea or the magic bullet that's affected that.
So do you think that cigarette and nicotine use is making a comeback with the younger generation?
Certainly, you know, vaping is an area that we still need to keep on educating, especially in our younger groups. We know that there's younger students, year 7 and 8, of course, who are, you know, trying these products. And even to have, you know, close to 4% of our year 7s who have vaped in the last 7 days is warrant for concern. You know, you're talking about kids who are only 11, 12 years old. So, you know, we've got to really keep on that education, and we've got to be talking about the harms of nicotine addiction, and we've got to keep focused on that.
Is there like a connection between how many, is there like an actual number of how many cigarette equivalent there would be to like a pod?
Ah, absolutely. You know, we always say that, you know, the pods up to that sort of 28 milligrams can be equivalent to around a pack and a half of cigarettes. So, you know, if you're having one of these pods and going through it quite quickly and it's equivalent to a pack and a half of cigarettes in terms of nicotine content, then of course it's going to be highly addictive. And the difference is, of course, cigarettes burn out, whereas these products you can just simply pop in your mouth, put in your pocket, pick it back up again. And as we saw from the 2024 survey, unfortunately, you know, some of our kids are even waking in the middle of the night to vape. And that's a real concern, of course. You know, first thing in the morning, sneaking away at lunchtime or during school, it's very easy for them to just pick this product up because, of course, it doesn't burn. It doesn't smell. It doesn't have to smell. Some, of course, can be quite fruity. And, you know, that's the ease of this product that has been concerned combined with the high nicotine content. So if we can reduce that nicotine content, if we can reduce the advertising, so we don't want to see storefront windows where you can look in and see all these shiny, amazing products, or go into just general retailers like dairies or petrol stations and see them advertised as well. If we can stop all that and a legislation comes through next year banning that sort of advertising, being able to see these products so easily, then we hope that that will have an impact as well.
So to wrap it all up, what can be better done to educate the youth regarding vaping?
Yeah, I think that at this stage, what we need to do is support our kids, our rangatahi, who are actually addicted to these products already, the ones who have fallen through the cracks. I think it's really important to help them quit vaping. I think continuing the vaping education in schools from an early age, so from year 7, is really important. And once again, capping the nicotine limits or the concentration in these products to 20 milligrams, regardless of whether it's free base or nicotine salts, will be really important to reduce the addictive nature of these of the nicotine in them. Then also banning the in front of store retailer window advertising and online, that's important, and capping the number of specialist vape retailers. We've got over 1,600 listed on the HAARP website. You know, we don't need that amount. There shouldn't be any more specialist vape retailers being allowed to license in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.